Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was Kenny Atkinson after the game last night. And I can tell you, that doesn't just sound like a guy who won the game. When he did an in-game interview on ESPN, he was like, man, isn't this just a great game? It's not great. And he was saying the same kind of things in-game. And I thought that was kind of cool because it was a guy who, A, knew he had the best record in the NBA. So, you know, hey, we win, great. We don't win, hey, great. We're still, you know, but... He was saying the exact same thing in game before the outcome was determined.
And he was saying that, and his players were saying that before the game, and then they went out and played that way. Like, there was nothing tight about yesterday's game.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that at all at any point while you were watching the game?
No, I thought they were pretty loose, and they just went after it.
They looked like a really good team. What was it? J.J. Redick said that you've got to play perfect basketball to beat the Cavs. Didn't you just say that the other day? You know, and so I didn't think last night's game was the perfect game, but man, it was a great game, right?
Oh, it was very competitive, yeah. And it was fun. You know, there wasn't much defense until they decided that there was going to be a little defense. I mean, the teams combined to score 84 points in the third quarter, for God's sake. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, but then there's only 46 in the fourth. That's crazy. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, well, they decided to play a little defense.
Yeah.
And the Cavs decided, I think, before Oklahoma City did, and that's why I think they won the game. Hmm. I think the defense in the fourth quarter was the key for the Cavaliers, personally.
It makes sense, Jeff. I mean, it totally makes sense.
But as I was sitting there, I just thought, okay, somebody, want to guard somebody here? Put a body on somebody? Let's do something here. And they finally did. And
you are like the defensive guru of the year.
No, I can't stand grinded out defensive basketball games if I can avoid them. You know what I like?
Yeah, there's some.
I like a little bit of defense.
Okay, that's somewhere between that and let's shoot a three every time down the floor.
Absolutely.
That's all I want. I'm not asking for a whole lot.
Absolutely. And last night, the Cavs put up 36 threes. That's a lot of threes. Oklahoma City put up 31. But, Cavs hit 42% of those three-pointers. And because main reason, I don't think Oklahoma City bothered to contest that many of them.
True.
But it was a real nice job by the Cavs to get that win last night. And I thought it was... an impressive thing. Now, I don't know what, and not that this game was circled on anybody's calendar because, you know, it's the Western Conference
team. About a week ago,
team.
I think it was, two weeks ago.
Yeah, and then, you know, they play again coming up. Mm-hmm. But this team just has to get to the playoffs and then see what they can do. I mean, it's real clear that this is a dominant regular season team. They have a lot of weapons. They have a lot of ways they can beat you. And it's a great regular season team. We'll see if it can be a great playoff team. Why can't it be? I mean, it can be. We'll find out. But I think it's, unfortunately, you still have half the season to go.
Mm-hmm.
And
more than half.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit more.
And I right now, the only thing circled on my calendar is playoffs. Let's go.
I thought you were going to say lunch.
It's always circled.
The only circle on my calendar is my next meal. I'm interested to hear your take on this because I think it's true. But when Kenny Atkinson talked after the game yesterday, he said, the players said, we don't win this game last year. I totally agree with that. I think every Cavs fan agrees with that. But sometimes you don't actually hear coaches come out and admit that. Although I guess you can when you're in a scenario when you've taken over for somebody else.
Yeah. The thing about it to me, Andy, is I thought J.B. Bickerstaff did a good job here, and I also thought their offense was terribly clunky. It just didn't operate the way I think an NBA offense should, especially when I think you have some real serious guys who are good at what they do, and they have some real serious offensive players, and they're good at what they do. And Evan Mobley is, you know, one of the key parts of this. Evan was outstanding last night. Kenny Atkinson in cut number three. Talked about Evan Mobley after the game last night. Here's what he had to say.
To do it in a big game like this and against an elite defensive team, we had to get Evan the ball. They're smaller. You know, Evan man, he put his stamp on this game. He's only touching what we all know. We keep saying this. He's only touching the surface, but more things to come from him.
Absolutely. And again, we talked about this yesterday. His numbers on the season, Andy, aren't outrageously different than they were in the past. But he looks like, eyeball test, he looks like a different and better player. More confident, yeah, more aggressive. Stronger.
Stronger is one thing that I think you can clearly see, but how much of it is between his ears? That's what I'm asking.
Well, it's a maturity growth.
Yeah, I've been in the league for a while.
Confidence.
I mean, I go back to when he first came to the Cavs. I'm like, and you and I both said this right away. And I heard Ken was saying that he felt like he had to defend him in his first couple seasons here. I don't think we ever had to defend him. I think people wanted to see a little bit more. But I think the two of us together, I kept going, he's young, man, he's young.
People don't
want to expect him to be a 5-year, 10-year veteran playing his first year. It just wasn't going
to
happen.
People do not want to give people time to develop.
Not at all.
Andy, he's still only 23 years old. If the Cavs are fortunate enough to be playing in the middle of June, he'll turn 24. He's only 23.
We live in a world where we have to get, someone texts you, you got to text them right back, or you got to call them right back.
Yeah, I started thinking when they about. Don't.
Yeah. You do get annoyed now when they don't text you back right away?
Yeah.
Should you, though? Think about that.
Only my
10
kids
years ago.
Only my kids when I'm, have to give them money.
Oh, just your kids? Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Well, I can understand that. But think about that. Like, you would wait a day for someone to call you back. You're like, okay, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow. What? What do you mean tomorrow? We can't live in that world anymore. We're just so... Everything's 100 miles a minute.
Evan is scratching the surface, as Kenny said, of what he can do. And his first 3 years in the league were just fine. But now with an offensive-minded head coach and putting in a system in place that allows him to do even more as he grows, it's not just Kenny's system. And it's not just Donovan Mitchell backing off on his game. A lot of it's on Evan just maturing as a player and as a person. More confidence, physical, everything. And it's led to better play and, numbers that are better, despite the fact that he's not playing any more minutes. He's being more productive when he's out on the floor, which is what it's all about.
I'm looking forward to them playing again. What, 16th? Is that the next time they play? Coming up in 7 days, something like that. I would love for the Cavs to beat them again there. Because then that gives them the rest of the season, whether they're healthy or not. That gives Oklahoma City the just that little bug in the back of their mind. They're like, hey, can we really beat this team? Can we really beat the Cavs? Because we wouldn't see them again until the NBA Finals. But again, that's ridiculous for me to bring that up right now. But I really, really, really hope they get that game down in Oklahoma City.
Well, the Cavs you heard some chirping. They weren't happy that they weren't getting the national attention. They were on ESPN last night, so, Tim Breen was in town, loved him. Richard Jefferson, Doris Burke, they were calling the game. They did a nice job. And after the game, Kenny Atkinson talked about just the whole atmosphere and everything else involved in this one.
Great for the league. Great for the city of Cleveland, right? Like, that's important. Oklahoma City, too. Our small market, so it's great. I think the parity's great in this league. We all enjoy competition. But to see all that talent out there, these were the heavy hitters of the league, and the quality of the basketball was super high. Yeah, great win for the Cavs, win for the league.
He's right.
I agree with every bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Absolutely, it was good for everybody. And again, you didn't see any ratings yet because I was looking this morning. I didn't see any kind of ratings on last night's game.
I paid no attention to the ratings. You're still into that. I don't care.
Well, I just think it gives you a gauge of level of importance outside of Northeast Ohio. We all know what it means to us here. I just wonder what it means to, and I don't know what if I should value it or not. But when you hear a game has amazing ratings and that people were engaged and want to know more about your team, I think that's exciting. I think that's why you play the game. You want people to watch. It's good for you. It's good for your business. It's good for your wallet. It's good for everybody else. People want to, they want to feel like they're a part of the team. These guys go out there every night, and we'll never have the same ability that they do to play the game at the same level. But we all share one thing in common: we all represent Cleveland. And when someone steps out on the floor and they play for Cleveland, we can grasp that. That's why we're fans. I don't see anything wrong with that.
One thing to keep an eye on here, and know, you can only dwell on one win for so long. But one thing to keep an eye on here, to me, what happens in the Eastern Conference the rest of the way? And who might get hot and who might get it together? Remember, Milwaukee was terrible at the beginning of the season. And the Bucks have gotten it together a little bit. Not necessarily surging now, but they have a winning record. They're fifth in the Eastern Conference. Cavs have a 5.5 game lead. They're 8 ahead of the Knicks, who are in third place. And, all right, who steps up? Who challenges? Who might be a first-round opponent? You know, if you're concerned about anything in the first round, the only thing I would be concerned about in the first round for the Cavs, where it would be like, uh-oh, this could get ugly. The only thing I think is if you ended up having to play the Philadelphia 76ers, and then we're so early on this, but the Sixers aren't even in the top 10 right now. If they can get it together, I think Joel Embiid's only played 13 games, something like that,
right?
Out of 35. If they can get it together and get in and end up being a team that the Cavs would have to deal with early on, that could be a real challenge. But they'd have to, A, get it together, and then, B, be healthy for the start of the playoffs. That could be an interesting challenge. But the Cavs, I think, are in terrific shape. They're sitting here. All they need is continued health. The style of play is locked in. You know, keep playing some defense here and there. I mean, you don't even – the thing of it is, and I've always thought this, if you can play the equivalent of one good quarter of defense in an NBA game, you're going to win if your offense is working.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be 48 minutes of incredible defense. Get, you know, trade baskets, go back and forth, make sure your offense is cooking. And if you can lock in your D for about 15 minutes throughout the game, you know, maybe 7 minutes here, 8 minutes there, you know, 7, 4, and 4, just some really good spurts where you get a little bit of an edge, you can win. And the Cavs defensively, carrying over from the foundation laid by J.B. Bickerstaff and his staff, they do that. But the offense is light years better than it was last year. Something has happened this year that, Andy, we had people come on this show, and I had arguments with them last year. And people said, nope, that can't happen. That won't work. And I forever said, of course it will. All you have to do is coach it up. And folks said, nope, nope, nope. You're going to have to change the team because of this. And those folks were wrong. We'll tell you what it was next on Baskin and Phelps. It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Nick Kostos, our Odyssey Sports betting insider. We have a couple of college football games to discuss.
Ooh, yes, we do.
A couple of NFL playoff games to discuss.
5 straight days of playoffs.
Get ready for that. Last year, more than a few times on this show, Andy, I got into heated debates with people who I respect, and I respect their basketball opinions. And I thought people were way off base. And they were way off base, I thought, on the idea that you cannot have a team with two big men. We heard that a lot last year from people who were on our show. You can't have Jared Allen and Evan Mobley play together because neither one goes out on the floor and stretches things out because you've got to have big men who hit threes.
Did you think the argument was stronger for two big men or two guards?
It was the big men argument that drove me absolutely up a wall.
Oh, it just drove you nuts. I thought more people would argue about the guards than they did about the big guys. Like, I never really... I know that people wanted to argue big guys, especially with us.
We had people on this show say you have to trade Jared Allen, and Evan has to play center because you can't play the two of those guys together.
I don't know. I always felt like that was silly, too.
I thought it was ridiculous, and we got into arguments about it. Well, guess what?
You won, Jeff.
No, it's not. It's nothing about me.
It's more fun when I say you won.
Well, okay. It's about basketball sense. Okay, you have two big guys, and I remember exactly what I said. Of course you can make it work. All you have to do is coach it up. That sounds stupid. Guess what? Kenny Atkinson has coached it up. He has been able to put together an offense where Jared Allen and Evan Mobley can coexist and make it work for the team. And before anybody says, well, that's because Evan is shooting more threes. Okay, maybe, except for one thing. How to work last night? They combined for 46 points, 21 rebounds, 13 assists, 4 steals.
They shot 71% together.
And between the two of them, they took 3 3-pointers. That was it.
Every basket they made was inside the key.
Now, do you have to space it out a little bit? Maybe because Evan steps out on the floor? Maybe. But it's not like the three has become like the focal part of his game. It's not. It's working because Kenny Atkinson is coaching it up with what he has, which is, to me, the way you're supposed to be. Last year, I don't think that happened. Last year, I do think that they were thinking about the threes in particular. This year, Kenny Atkinson took this job thinking that maybe Mobley and Allen, why not? That's what he was there to do, right? Coach what you have, and he's done that. Here's Kenny after the game.
I came from a different angle. Why can't they play together? Because they're so talented. And you see how we do it, right? We play them together, and then we can split them up. And my experience, especially with the Warriors, that really, really is important because every series is different. You have to have different lineups work, and sometimes you have playoff series where you need the two bigs. Sometimes you might play them less.
And that's the idea. Coach what you have and make what you have work. When you have talented players in any sport, but in this case it's basketball, when you have talented players, your job is not to fit them into your system necessarily. It's to create a system that allows your talented players to thrive. And I think that's what Kenny Atkinson has done. Now, part of it is this. Jared Allen's scoring average, if this means anything, you guys tell me if it does, is down 2.4 points this year. And Evans is up 3.2. So the two of them combined are scoring less than 1 point a game more this year than they averaged for all of last season.
Sharing is caring, Jeff. Let's not forget that. But sharing is caring. Jared Allen hit every one of his buckets inside that restricted zone last night. Little circle on the inside.
He's a big guy who plays well inside. That's what you're supposed to do.
82%.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Get him the ball and get it in the hoop, and good things happen.
Jim's in Strongsville. Hi, Jim.
Hello, James.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jeff, I just want to call you out a little bit. You're mischaracterizing people's argument about having two big men on the floor. You were adamant that you didn't want Evan Mobley shooting three-pointers. This only works because Evan Mobley's grown and been able to grown into a player that can put the ball on the floor and can shoot from 3-point. If he couldn't do those two things, having two big men on the floor is still not a good thing. So I get what you're saying. Yes, people disagreed, but that was under the current way that Evan Mobley was playing and the current limitations that he had. The fact that he's grown in ways that you weren't necessarily sure you wanted him to grow into is why it works. So I just think you're mischaracterizing like why you have to. You can have as many bigs out there as you want, as long as
I think you're mischaracterizing it. You had two big guys create a system for it to work. Naturally, his game's going to evolve a little bit, but he's not a 3-point shooter. That's not the emphasis of his game. And most folks who I argued with about it last year wanted them to become the second coming of Dirk Nowitzki. You can't put the square peg in the round hole, and because he wasn't going to become Dirk Nowitzki, didn't mean you had to trade Jared Allen. And
no,
they've been able to put that together and make it work, Jim. That's my point.
Coaching it up. So, I mean, listen, Evan Mobley, don't get me wrong. I'm not dismissing the scheme, but Evan Mobley's growth his ability to put the ball on the floor has changed everything. I mean, I just don't think we can underplay that in any way. That has changed fundamentally the type of player that he is.
But Jim, I agree with that. Part of it is also the fact that Kenny Atkinson has put a scheme together that can allow him to do those things.
I agree with that. It's very unlike you to take a victory lap. That's why when I heard you before, taking a victory lap.
it wasn't that as much, Jim, as it's just I thought it was preposterous that people thought you needed to trade a really good player because you had another really good player who did a lot of the same things. I thought that was silly.
I agree. It's more like Andy to take victory laps. That's more his MO.
Well, guess what, Jim? There's nothing wrong with taking a victory lap every once in a while, isn't there?
Listen, let's bring the Kelseys up. Come on.
Said anything about them. I'll take a victory lap for the city. It's not me. I just kind of want to be Rocky running up the stairs and have everybody come up and join me at the statue because we all should take a victory lap.
Are you a Taylor Swift personal friend now?
I just want to say, Tay-Tay called last night. No, not at all.
Later, boys.
Hi, Jim.
I said, can you write a little ditty about me? And she was just like, sure, whatever you need.
Well, you have to date first, and then you have to break her heart.
Oh, well.
Can you imagine the nasty song that's going to be written about Travis?
There isn't going to be a nasty song.
I hope not.
This is love, my friends.
I sure hope so.
If they do break up, I can't wait to hear the music.
Can I ask you something?
I don't know. I got about. I guess I'm stuck here for another 3 hours and 11 minutes. Sure, you can ask me anything you want.
I still don't like the two small guards.
Wait, I got to check into the game. Hang on. Okay, go ahead.
Now, that said,
scorers tables give me all kinds of problems.
That said, Kenny Atkinson has put together a scheme where both Darius and Donovan are thriving. Is it going to be a concern in the playoffs? I'm curious to see if it is. And, you know, I was convinced that you could figure out a way to play two bigs together. It's been done time and time and time again in the NBA. You know, two bigs, you figure it out, and you go win. Very, very, very few teams have ever had the two small guards and win championships. And I wonder if Kenny's scheme is able to make that happen.
I thought Isaiah Thomas, a guy could understand that a little bit, right? Isaiah could understand that a little, right?
A little bit.
So he was talking after the game on NBA TV, and he just kept, man, he was raving for like 4 or 5 minutes about the chemistry that Cavaliers have, and that, you know, Donovan and Darius got together even before Kenny Atkinson was hired as a coach and got the guys together and said, here's what we need to do, and this is how we're going to get better, and this is how we're going to play together as a team. And, you know, I'm assuming that Kobe jumped in there and said, hey, guys, if we're going to make this work, we got to make this work, and so we'll do whatever it takes. I mean, maybe it was their version of the Greenbrier.
Where'd they go?
I don't know. Where did they go?
Out for wings?
Were they in that joint in Orlando for a little bit? In
Disney?
In camp? No, they were somewhere. They started camp down in Florida.
Oh, that's true. They did.
Yeah. They had their version.
Oh,
of
they did have
their
own.
Yeah, but that was the
Greenbrier.
Whole team. It wasn't just Donovan and Darius.
Well.
But he was saying that those two got together in the offseason and said, hey. And Isaiah just talked about team chemistry for probably 4 or 5 minutes after the game last night. And I was like, wow, man, maybe there's something here. And when you talk about it from that two-guard perspective, I think he would know pretty well.
Well, it's the one team where you think about, you know, that does come to mind, where there were two guys who weren't, you know, 6'6". Dumars was 6'3", and Isaiah was, what, 6 foot maybe when he played? Mm-hmm. And that's the one team where, okay, they had some success there. And I wonder if the Cavs can duplicate that. You know,
we're on our way.
We'll see.
I mean, we're sitting here. I kind of don't want to worry. I know you need to. Like, if you were the general manager, you would need to worry about what's coming up down the road. Right?
Yeah, except I don't know that. I don't know that you mess with anything. Do you?
No, I can't.
I wouldn't.
How do you mess with a team that's lost one game out of 20 at home, 32-4?
If I could move some pieces at the end of the bench and bring in another wing guy who I thought would be a great fit for this team, I think I would do it. And I would also think about it for another big guy. And I don't mean an Evan or a Jarrett, but, you know, maybe a 6'9", 6'10 guy who can give me a little more depth in the front court. But I wouldn't move any of the guys that Kenny's really playing any minutes, you know, and because it's working. If I could trade, you know, future second round pick, whatever, I would have my eyes open for somebody else who might be able to help me on the wing. Although I think they might have that guy already in their first round pick.
I don't know. I kind of want to be where
I like Jalen Tyson's potential.
I'm not going to lie. I like the fact that this team came into last night's game going, oh, you know, it's a game. We're going to still continue to have fun. We're going to remember who we are first, and then we'll worry about the other team. And we know that if we play our best game, that we should be able to beat anybody in the NBA, and we're going to execute the way we've been executing all season long. And, like, the opponent, while it might have been a gigantic game, the rhetoric before the game was very much, we know how to control things, and we know our own team, and they're having more fun. And when they say after the game that this is a game I don't know we would have won last year, To me, it makes it sound like they figured out how to make the machine work a lot better than they did last year.
The thing,
and again, that's not any offense to the former coach. Please don't.
No.
I'm not sitting here ripping JB, but maybe
they're
just
not as good as they are now without the work that JB and his staff did the last several years.
Agree. They had to. I mean, there's a crescendo part to this, right? Where they had to start to learn to get to know each other last year a little bit better. And how do you think Doug Collins felt when he left Chicago? Right?
Yeah. Well, the one thing that's key for
And by the way, I hope it turns out that way, right?
Sure. Wouldn't that be great? The one thing that's really key for the organization here, and this is not a shot, because without him, you know, who knows where this is. They're doing something without LeBron James that they hadn't done. I mean, with the only success that Dan Gilbert's had as an owner of this team was when LeBron was on the team.
Sure.
Until now. You know, last year you made the playoffs, you won a series. That's great. It was starting. This is what the organization has been shooting for, because you knew that LeBron wasn't going to be here forever. You know, when he came back, I was hoping he'd finish his career here, but it didn't end up being the case. And you know, when LeBron was on your team, he's clearly he's the tail that's wagging the dog, right?
Yeah.
I mean that. Let's be all honest about that. That's the way it is. And it's been that way, you know, in Los Angeles with LeBron too. This is not that situation. The organization put this together. Good bunch of players, good bunch of coaches, front office has done the job. And it's the team type of overall effort that the organization has been screaming for to have happen without LeBron James. And they're there right now. Now the only question, let's see where it ends up. Nick Kostos, our Odyssey Sports betting insider. What's he think about Ohio State? What's he think about Ohio State coming up this weekend against those Texas Longhorns and Quinn Ewers?
Tomorrow, buddy.
The former Buckeye.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. In the snow in Texas. Nick's next on Baskin and Phelps.